Everybody for returning to part three on the Day of Atonement in the year of 2011. We thank everybody. And we're going to be looking at this perfecting of the people of Yahweh, and specifically the 144,000, which is the main crew that the Bible will be talking about. We have a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank thee for your mercy. We thank thee for this high days that you have given to us on the Day of Atonement falling on your seventh day, Sabbath. We just ask that you might be able to, and also occurring during your sixth millennium, we ask that you might be able to help us understand as we enter into and plan for the thousand-year reign that you will set up. We ask that we might be wide and awake to understand the signs of the times that are around us. Help us to keep awake and not fall asleep in these perilous times that we live in. We just ask for your Holy Spirit, for your guidance and your direction. Please teach us, instruct us, and work with us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, we're going to Revelation chapter 7, to talk a little bit about the 144,000 in our chart. Again, we talked about how in the sixth day he created humans perfect, and during the sixth millennium he will perfect another group of people. Okay, group of people which he will be perfecting, we found out, will surrender their will over to him so that Yahweh can both will and do of his good pleasure in us. And he will also be able to speak, because the Bible says don't take no thoughts of what you speak, but the Spirit will give it to you at the moment. And at that point, that would mean, again, that Yeshua, who is the word of Elohim, will be speaking through us to the world. So the world will not be, we will not be in a warfare with the world ourselves. We will just be an instrument, as Yeshua and John the Baptist and all the prophets and teachers were in the past. That's one thing we don't have to fear, unless we are not connected, then we need to fear. So as long as we're connected to him and is he revealing these things to us, that's his goal, so that we can encourage one another and be lights in this dark world. As the world is asking, they're asking for lights, they're asking for people to, you know, step up to the plate. And so this is where we find ourselves at this time. So, Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Elohim in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Okay, so here the Bible talks about in the last days that there's going to be four winds blowing on the earth. And it's going to be blowing on the sea. And so they said, as these winds blow, there will be four angels that will be standing on the four corners of the earth. And they're going to be beckoning that the winds don't blow, the four winds don't blow, until Elohim's servants are sealed in their foreheads. Now, what is this sealing? The Bible here says that they'll have the seal of the living Elohim in their foreheads. Okay? And we read that there'll be 144 of them. So let's turn to chapter 14, seven chapters after the when it first appears. I believe it gives us a little more better description of this sealing. Revelation chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, and Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. So here's the 144,000 again, with the Lamb, which is the Messiah, and it says that whose name is sealed in their forehead?
Father, the Father's name.
Thank you. The Father's name is sealed in their forehead. So, let's go back and think a little bit of what we were talking about earlier. That the Father represents the mind, is that right? The brains of Elohim.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then the Son represents the what? The words.
Mm-hmm.
For he is the word of Elohim. And the Spirit represents what? The Spirit. For he is the Spirit of Elohim. Okay, so here the Bible makes a direct parallel to let you know that these 144 will be brought back to the original state of Adam and Eve, because now we have here that whose name is written in their foreheads? Whose mind will they have? Whose will control them?
Mm-hmm. The Father.
Excuse me, Professor, the scripture is saying that out of the whole world, only 144,000 people are going to be called up out of the whole world.
Okay, when you say hold up, what do you mean?
No, I'm asking a question.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure I understand your question. I know how to answer it. I just want to make sure I understand the question.
Is this what the scripture is saying, that when I say out of the whole world, all those who have, well, unless you're saying only 144,000, well, unless the scripture is saying only 144,000 people who will do the will of God is the ones that's going to be called up, but everybody else will be lost.
Okay, you're saying caught up.
Well, when I say that, I'm talking about the second resurrection is what I believe.
Oh, okay. No, the 144,000 are not going to be the only ones from the second resurrection, from the first resurrection. No, that's not what it's saying. Okay, let's go back to 7 for one moment.
Okay.
So it'll give you some more details that'll answer your question.
And where are we
going back
to?
Chapter 7.
Okay, back to 7.
Yes, chapter 7. Okay, after he lists the 144,000 in the beginning, verses 5 through 8, it lists all the different tribes. It lists 12 of the tribes of the 14 tribes.
Mm-hmm.
At those 12 tribes, it lists 12,000 from each. Then it lets you know. And after this, in verse 9, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation unto our Elohim, which sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped Elohim, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our Elohim forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of Elohim and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell with them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living waters, fountains of waters, and Elohim shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. So we see that, no, there's that in the last days there will be two groups. There will be the 144,000 who are perfected, and there will be a great multitude which no man can number from every nation, kindred, tongue, and people that will be saved.
I am happy about that.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, no problem. Hey, there is never a problem of asking a question.
Okay.
If there's something you don't understand, just ask.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Okay, now let's get back to 14 for a second. Now, remember, there's two groups here. There's the perfected group of the 144,000 who have yielded totally to Yahweh so that he can use them in a supernatural, spectacular way. And then there's this great multitude that will be put to death. That's what it says. They'll die. But they will be saved because they were following Yahweh. But they were not. But they did not develop to the full perfection of the 144.
Oh.
So let me give you a good example.
Okay.
There was at the time of before the flood, we had Adam and Eve who were created perfect, right?
Uh-huh.
They fell, and then you had, you know, other people after them. You had all of these different people up to Noah. But now in that before the post-flood, how many people had reached perfection?
Well,
there were lots of people who were saved. There was Noah and his sons got on the boat. But how many of them had reached perfection? The only one that we know of is Enoch.
Enoch. The
Bible says that Enoch walked with Elohim, and Elohim took him. Okay? So that's the 144 is going to be of that type of a caliber. And, you know, there was only like one person before the flood. And so to have 144,000 before his second coming, hey, he's working pretty hard. Okay, but that's not to say nobody was saved between Adam and Noah. No, that's not what we're saying. There were many people saved between Adam and Noah, but you got Noah and his sons. But there was only a few people reached the state of perfection. Different. So there's two categories, okay? Those who are saved and those who have yielded 100% says that they are no longer existing. So basically they have died to self, such that now you no longer see them, you see the Messiah in them. It's no longer their will, it's the will of the Father who's doing the work. It's no longer them. It's no longer them. The Spirit is giving them all wisdom and knowledge. They are no more, to tell you the truth. Now, not many people want to reach that stage, and not many people will reach that stage. But that is the ultimate stage of perfection. But that does not mean because you was on the road and you didn't make it that you're lost. That does not mean that.
So is that why we have like our churches are filled with saints that are saved, but yet they still live a lot of the world versus there are some who are sold out completely?
Well, I mean, there's a whole lot of things going on in the churches. A lot of deception is going on in the churches.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that people are just getting caught up in the middle of. If the churches are practicing deception, how do you think the people are going to be?
Right. They're going to follow the leader.
There's all of these things, yeah. There's so many facets of what is going on and what can be going on. But the Bible always teaches us that we're supposed to have a relationship with him for ourselves, not for the church.
Right.
And that's why he says to study to show yourself approved.
So that means sometimes you'll be standing alone then, right?
Oh, yes.
Well, I mean, you know any prophets that didn't stand alone? Yeah. You know anybody in the Bible that didn't stand alone? Now, you had Daniel and the three Hebrew companions, so I guess we could say they didn't stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
There was only four. But four out of all the millions that came out, I mean, that were living, that's like nothing. But the bottom line is, he wants to do this in us. And it's not easy. So it's not like, that this is an easy thing and everybody can just, give it up. It ain't like that. Tedious procedure that he's working. But it is, for his will. I mean, that is the facts. So when we move as we move along, and we just ask him to reveal himself to us.
Yeah, and I think the struggle comes in because when you're following your leaders, you're submitted to them and you're following them. I mean, they're your leaders. So at a certain point, it's almost like you have to separate yourself. And if you don't know that, you think that they're right.
You are correct.
And then it makes you by yourself.
Well, like I said, Daniel, there was four of them.
Yeah.
And listen, there's how many of us online?
Three right now.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, that's exactly what you're saying, sister, is true. Simple as that.
I mean, it's just sad that, I'm getting confirmation because, I have this real desire to do the will of God. And, I really believe in following, my leaders that the Bible tells me to submit to the authority that's over me, that teaches me. But I also have that singled out relationship that is with him one-on-one, that is personal. But I didn't, I was kind of confused about I'm being led. And so where do you draw the line and you become separated, and that's how you feel, even though you're there, even though you're still under them, but you in your senses know that it's not where you feel like it should be with the Lord. Like you know that you're supposed to do his will. You know that you're supposed to live according to the word of God, what the Bible tells you. But as you are following, you see that a lot of your leaders aren't living like that. So then you get confused because you're like, I know I'm supposed to be living the way the Bible says, but then you don't see all that in the leadership. And that bothers me.
Well,
but I'm getting confirmation.
The Bible,
I'm getting confirmation about it.
Hallelujah, sister.
But remember, the Bible is very explicit. It didn't say that everybody going to heaven. Matter of fact, the Bible says that, I think we quoted this before, that broad is the way, wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Now, who do you think is going in that door, the world or the church?
I know. I guess I was being naive because I just thought that the leaders were. I thought.
Right. But listen to the quote. This is what he said. Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to what? Destruction.
Destruction.
And many there be that go in thereat. Who's he talking to, the church or the world?
The church.
Okay, so then there you go. So the Bible is telling you that. And then he tells you the other one. He says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. And y'all remember what he says about that one? And few there be that what?
Will go.
Nope, don't say that.
You said broad is the way, narrow is the gate.
Mm-hmm. And wide is the gate, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate. Now, this is Matthew chapter 7.
Okay.
Y'all can look at it. It's a disturbing text. Verse 13.
Okay.
13 and 14. enter ye in at the straight gate. So he tells us which gate to enter in at. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. So that's where the churches are going. That's where everybody's going. Church, world, everybody going down that path. And then he says, but now he told you to enter in at the straight gate. So he didn't tell you to enter in at the broad gate with the rest of them. He didn't tell you to do that.
Right.
Then he says, then verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that go in that what? Did it say the few there be that go in thereat? Did it say that?
And few there be that find it.
Right. So he never told you how many went in because they can't find it. So, yeah, so the leadership, like you say, so, yeah, they're leading the people astray. So they're not going to find this gate. And now, once you find the gate, that don't mean you're going in.
But I don't understand. Why? It's like a puzzle. Like, why are we learning all this and trying to live and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior to end up and not get in? I mean, what's the purpose of it?
Hey, whoa. Okay, which part are you referring to? First,
did you
got to find.
Huh?
First, he commands us to enter in at the straight gate. He never told us to enter in at the broad gate.
Right.
Okay, so if we're following his instruction, we're entering in at the straight gate.
Yes.
Now, even after we enter in at the straight gate, he makes it crystal clear. Now, okay, what is the straight gate anyway?
His will.
Okay, it's his will. But as we've been talking, okay, so far, we're talking that he says for you to study to show yourself approved unto Elohim, right?
Yes.
So if you're not studying, how are you thinking that you enter in at the straight gate?
Well, if you don't study, you won't know.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so then you ain't it. You on the broad path. And he told you don't go down there.
Right.
But you didn't listen because you like the broad way. And that's the way everybody's going. That's the mega churches. That's where everything is at. Yeah. So what he's saying is, hey, I'm telling you, stop following that stuff. Now, if you don't listen to me, I can't help you. And then he tells you, study to show yourself approved.
Mm-hmm.
Elohim, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you don't study, who can you blame?
Only yourself.
You can't blame him because he told you, hey, this is what you need to do so that you can even find the path.
Mm-hmm.
And I study, and that's the reason why I feel the way I do, but I never had anybody to talk to about what I was seeing versus the word that I was reading. Like, who do you go to and tell them that you're reading the word and the word is telling you to live a certain way, but you are witnessing that it's not like that in the churches? So who do you tell that? You don't correct up. You don't, you know, who do you
say
that?
Hey, that's why we have these groups. That's why Yahweh's brought you here.
That's what I was just going to say. He is hearing your prayer, sister. And that's why he led you to a place where you can begin to see that things aren't always what they appear in the churches. So you're going to have some tough decisions to make along the way. Do you stay with them and follow their lead, or do you find groups such as this one where we're trying to go back to Father's plan?
Well, God knew I was searching.
And that's why he brought you. Just keep studying and keep searching. He'll keep leading you.
No, you'll see. And then you'll see also, once you find it, are you going to enter in?
Right.
But the key is, okay, this is not to get you discouraged. This is to help you understand that the struggle and the journeys that you're going through, it's a real struggle and a journey. You are dealing with biochemical warfare. You are dealing with miseducation. You are dealing with propaganda. You are dealing with subliminal subduction. You are dealing with every form of brainwashing, killing. Except, I mean, you are up against everything. So that's why it's so hard to just understand what's going on. And then once you get into it, then you start seeing, wow, this thing is deeper than ever.
Yeah, mm-hmm, well, I mean, mm-hmm. I kind of knew some things, like, I knew some things weren't right. I mean, I studied the Word of God, even on my own, I do, but I also, you know, did it in school, the Bible Institute. But I know God was revealing to me things that wasn't right. And I, you know, like I said, I never had anybody to talk to it about it, just would pray about it. I knew in my spirit that it's not right, you know, and I knew that, you know, like, you're taught not to correct up. So, you know, I think now I'm feeling not discouraged. I'm not feeling discouraged, I guess.
No, what was that point you said? You said you were taught not to what? I didn't get that.
Correct up.
What is that?
Correct up. What does that mean?
That means you don't correct your leaders. You don't.
Oh, whoa. Where did you read that?
That's what we're taught.
I know. Where did you read it?
Is it in the scripture?
Well, only the scripture tells you to respect your authority, respect those that are over you.
That's correct. You can respect them, and if they're wrong, the Bible says for you to correct them because they're all human. I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. The way Paul put it, Paul said, follow me as I follow the Messiah. Now, if I stop following the Messiah, you need to stop following me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what the Bible teaches. So when you said that, you don't correct them, I don't read that in Scripture because I read in Jeremiah, I think, how they rebuked the king. I mean, and some people lost their lives for that. I mean, you know when John the Baptist was here on the planet, he rebuked all the Pharisees, scribes, and Pharisees.
The king himself, Herod. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so it's consistent throughout the scripture that man is not infallible. That's number one. And number two is, you know, if there's some problems, you know, I mean, somebody has to address it. I mean, now they can tell you, or the leadership can tell you, or the seminaries can tell you, don't say nothing, but that's non-scriptural.
I know.
They're teaching you to contradict the scripture.
We can't do it.
You can't do what?
Correct up. Like if we see things that's not right.
Okay, when you see things that are not right, what does the scripture tell you to do? Not what does man tell you to do, which is the counterfeit. What does scripture teach you to do?
I don't know, but I've been in my church for 20 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying,
am I supposed to walk away?
Walk away from what, sister? The church?
Yes.
Well, you might have to if the church is leading you down that broad path. This is where the hard part comes. Where are you going to submit to Yah's will? Or are you just going to follow the broad path? Because I'm telling you, it's a straight path. It's a narrow path, and you'll find very few on it. So you will have to indeed stand alone. So you've got to look into your own heart and decide what is important to you. What do you really want? Do you want to follow Yah, or do you just want to stay with the broad path and the leadership? And don't be discouraged, my sister. We've all been there. We've been there. We know what you're feeling. We know how you think. But we were taught wrong. You were not supposed to yield unquestionable authority to people. It's Yahus to lead us, the Heavenly Father himself, through Yeshua and the Word, of course. That's how he leads us into all these truths. But don't be discouraged. We're with you. We feel your pain. But you just have to decide now that you want to walk with the Father and follow his way. And it'll get better. It won't get easier, but it'll get better. Because your determination will get stronger. The more you walk in his way, the more you're able to, you know, fulfill his purpose for your life.
Okay.
Cheer up, my girl. Cheer up. You're in a good place. He says, my sheep hear my voice. You're hearing his voice, so now you have to decide, do I want to follow it? And it won't be easy, but it will be doable because he'll be there giving you the strength to do it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Maybe I should get off the line.
What for? Why? Why would you think you should get off the line now? Have you, you're not learning anything? Or, well, what would be the rationale for that?
Because I'm crying and I'm upset.
Oh, no. This is the time you stay. You would do exactly what the enemy wants you to do, and that's run away from truths that are facing you that you need to implement by not just dealing with it. No, you go off, you're just going to cry, get more discouraged, and feel more alone than if you just press it through. It shows that the Spirit of Yah is working on your heart. That's why you're feeling the way you do, because that's the flesh struggling against the Spirit, which is telling you something to do. But your heart, your natural man, has been inclined to do what the world is doing. Follow your teachers, follow your leaders, follow your pastors. And Yeshua said, follow me.
Yes.
Okay, so no, stay with us. And if you must cry, cry. We don't mind. I'm sure Brother Emmanuel don't mind.
That's fine.
Okay.
We're here. Oh, my dear.
Remember what we're here for.
Amen.
You said that the Spirit led you to the class so that you can grow, so that you can develop to be into to make that decision. Because as we find the path, then we have to make decisions. As we find the straight, a narrow path, as we find it, and as we walk in it, we'll see. And remember, like you said, that there'll be few that'll find it, that'll even want to go down this path.
Because it is not easy, but it is so rewarding. Oh, it is so rewarding.
So the key is, as things get narrower and straighter, and that's what you want, because you want to, you want to make it in. That's the bottom line. And so he sends us these different things, these different ways, so that we might be able to understand what's going on around us.
Yes.
During these times of events, right? Like right now, most people have no clue about what seal we're in. Most people have no clue about the last 21 events, the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven plagues. They have some ideas of what they think from a Eurocentric viewpoint, which is off the wall, so they just really going down the broad path. They don't have no clue. So the time is for us to study, encourage one another, and to press toward the mark of the higher calling, which is in Yeshua the Messiah. So, since you read the preface to the book, that there was telling you what's going on. And so that's the reason why we have to go over that again, so that we can make sure that everyone understands all the stuff that's in it. But let's get back to Revelation 14. This is what he says will happen to the 144. Now, any of us can be part of the 144. It just depends on how far we will yield ourselves to him. So this is not out of the ballpark. Now, the question is this where you want to be?
Right.
Okay, so as we're reading, that's why I'm reading it, so that we can understand the perfected person, people he made on day six, and the perfected group of people he will perfect during the sixth millennium. Okay, now if you also remember in the creation story, he created all the animals and all of them before he created humans on the sixth day. So we were the last thing to basically be created.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the sixth day, so the same thing, as we get closer to the end of the sixth millennium, that's when he's going to create this perfected people. As he did in the past, so does he want to do again in these times that we're living in. Now, back to 14, it says that, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. So that's what they're sealed with. Remember we talked about the sealing, that they were sealed with something in their forehead? They were
yes.
sealed with the mind of the Messiah. They were sealed with the will of the Father. They were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So it takes three things to battle this conflict. It's going to take all of the mind of the Father. That's what it says. They've written it. The mind of the Father has to be in you. And your will has to be surrendered to the will of the Father. And the only way that we know that one person have done that was the Messiah. He yielded his will over to him. So as we yield our will, which is our decision-making, over to him, then at that point, then through the Spirit, he can actually work and do of his good pleasure. So you're telling me that this is going to be easy? No.
No, no, no.
Okay, now let me ask you the question. When the Messiah was here on planet Earth, when he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed three times, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me.
Yes, 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 yes.
This is the same place of where we find ourselves.
Yes.
Okay, and he was crying tears of sweat and blood, the Bible says. He was not just crying tears. He was not sweating sweat. He was sweating sweat and blood.
Great drops of blood, yes.
So this was intensified of the struggle that he was going through. And this is where what we will have to deal with as we get down to these details, as we get down to allowing him to do both will and do of his good pleasure. So we see here, as they would say, the cup was trembling in his hand. As the Messiah is praying, is this possible? Let this cup pass from me. And so when we are with our friends, our churches, our families, our kids, our parents, whoever and everybody, and as we come to these points, husbands, wives, all of those things, that we will find ourselves in this same boat that he is found in. Not wanting to give that up, but knowing. And he says, is with his last prayer, he says, not my will, but thy will be done. So there he was surrendering his last point of his will to his Father.
Amen.
Was it easy for the Son of God? No. Is it going to be easy for us? No.
No.
But that is not the issue. The issue is, are we willing to surrender and give that over? I'll give you an example. I was at a church that I was at, and I loved it. I had a deacon's position. I was evangelist leader. I was Sabbath school teacher. I was Sabbath superintendent and all these positions and all of this stuff. I was rolling. I mean, hey, I had the gifts. They were rolling. And Yahweh told me, okay, Emmanuel, it's time to go. I said, you've got to be kidding. He said, no, I'm not kidding. It's time for you to go. I said, why is it time for me to go? I mean, I haven't found a church like this ever in my life. Now that I'm at the peak of my criteria, or whatever, and you're telling me it's time to go. And I'm like, I don't think so. And he said, listen, Emmanuel, if you don't go, I'm going to kick you out. I said, oh, man, this is not cool. This is not cool. This is not cool. So anyway, he gave me the dream that I would get kicked out of the church. So I had a dilemma, either walk or get kicked out. Because he said there was no way that that it can help you anymore. There's nothing more they can give you. All they can do is hinder you. So that's why he told me that. I said, like, but okay. And that was me. Okay, my will be done. No, I'm not leaving. He said, no problem. I already knew you were going to say that, but, hey, I got the cards played out. They're going to kick you up. You have a greater work to do, and forget what your will is. You better learn my will. I said, okay. So anyway, I did get kicked out. I got kicked out for presenting the gifts of the Spirit and how they should exist today. So when that happens, everybody cried. My wife kicked me out, too. She was part of the group. My sister kicked me out. My sister-in-law, you know, except one sister did not kick me out. Her name was Joyce. And she said she was part of our Bible study group because we had our own Bible study group outside the church. We had our own Bible study group before we went there. And so so when I was given the dream, I told the group that, hey, Yahweh said, you know, I'm going to get kicked out of the church. They said, oh, man, no, we're not going to live out to you. We're not going to let them do that to you. I said, okay, whatever. That's what he said. So everybody said, so we went into the meeting. I did my presentation. He said, okay, Brother Emmanuel is presenting heresy. We have. And so one sister said, she said, wait a minute. What? He presented all scripture. I don't see no heresy. I don't even see why you said he say anything. And who will not vote him out? Whoever will not vote him out will be voted out next. And the sister stood up and said, yo, you don't have to vote me out. I'm walking out. She walked out. And so my sister's hand went up, my wife's hand up, everybody's hand went up. Okay, Emmanuel, unanimous. Get out of here. I said, okay, fine. So everybody's crying and, you know, and all this and all of that. I was hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
None of that. My sister told me later, she said, Emmanuel, there was no need for all of that drama to happen. All you had to do, Emmanuel, was listen to the voice of Yahweh when he told you it's time for you to leave, bro. So he said, you created all this drama, Emmanuel. You created all of this drama. Everybody's upset with everybody, and everybody's mad, and everybody's, you got the whole church divided, man. It's just like, wow, man, how can we do this to this brother, and, you know, and all this stuff. He ain't do nothing, and, you know, whatever. So bottom line, after, so I was naive, you know, I was just a, you know, I was just a college student, just a little kid. And so anyway, the pastor's son said, hey, Brother Emmanuel, man, he's Lucifer, man. He does fully one-third of the angels of the church, the congregation. And his dad said, don't you dare say that about Brother Emmanuel. This has nothing to do with that. And he is not the devil. Okay? So, no. You're taking this out of context. See, the son was seeing and reacting as I was and everybody else was. But he knew, the pastor knew it was a political move. The political move was, a sister told me later, the treasurer, she told me that same night, Brother Emmanuel, there's really nothing wrong with you. But the issue is you can't stay here because you're going to teach what you believe Yahweh is telling you to teach despite what the leadership says to teach.
Right.
And this is a political move.
They don't want to teach the truth.
Unless you teach what we tell you to teach, you can't be here. Because you're going to divide the church. Because, hey, we're saying this is how it's going to go, and you're saying it's supposed to go that way. So the two can't walk together because we don't agree.
Yes.
And I said, wow. I said, but I thought we're all here to follow Yahweh. Okay. Yes, to a certain point.
To a certain point.
You're crazy. So you want to take the man, so you want to follow Yahweh too far than most of us who follow. And because of that, the leadership ain't even agreed that we want to follow him that close.
Right.
So if we don't want to follow him that close and you want to follow him that close, there's conflict because he's going to be telling you something and we're going to say, no, we ain't going along with that.
Right.
And you're going to say, hey, I'm not here to serve you. I'm here to serve Yahweh and the people. So bump you, man. I'm going to teach the truth. And that can't happen. And when we see you doing that, which you just did, we told you not to teach on the gifts. You insisted that Yahweh said the gifts are illegal and you want to teach on them. And you said, okay, teach on them, and this is the result. You're not listening. And we play politics in the church. And you won't pay politics.
Right.
I said, you're right. I'm not here to play politics. Okay? I mean, hey, if I want to play politics, I'll join the government. I've come here to teach the word and to learn and develop and grow. I didn't come here to play games. But anyway, bottom line, they knew what the deal was. And they knew that I couldn't stay there, but I didn't know that. I thought they wanted to follow Yahweh all the way as much as I did. When it came down to the final ducats, they didn't, the leadership. Now, not saying the people, because the people did. I mean, I would assume the people did. I don't know. You know, I can't read people's hearts. But anyway, eventually my sister, my wife, and my sister-in-law, all of them left the church after that. Not immediately after that, but they left the church as time went on. And, you know, we formed our own group. And so this is where this came from. This is what we do. This is where this came from 1980. That's when I was kicked out. And from then, we have established this ever since. So,
Praise Yah.
So we understand what people have to go through.
Yeah, it's not easy. But
and
it's
so what I'm trying to say is, as Yahweh leads us, and I agree, the stuff I teach here, no, the church could never have accepted this. And that's what Yahweh was telling me, but I was too naive to believe it. And so Yahweh was saying, I have to take you out of that environment so that you can build this other environment that I need built. And I go back and I see the church and I speak with some of the people, and they're still doing the same old thing. They haven't grown since then.
Right.
And he was just saying, hey, you can stay here and die, or you can listen to the Father and grow.
And live.
And so that's the decision. And so when these things come up like that, we can't look at them as you said, you was in this church 20 years. This is what you don't think. Yeah, I understand all that. But the Yahweh is saying, are you invested in the church or are you invested in Yahweh?
This is where
some of the decisions come. And so some of the stuff, like, you know, we wouldn't have never met if Yahweh didn't give this to me, because then Yahweh wouldn't be telling you, hey, you need to hook up with Brother Emmanuel because there's some stuff for you to learn. He couldn't have told you that because I would have been at the same level as everybody else. So, hey, there's no need to check out Brother Emmanuel because he ain't saying nothing either. That's all. So, you know, he has a will and a work for us all to do. And the key is, as we lay down our will and lay down what we want to do, and that's why I said it's not easy. And sometimes we have to go through the mill, like I did. But, you know, I hope I learned from it. You know, I will still make mistakes. No one said we're not. We're perfect. We'll still make mistakes. We'll still do different things. But the catch is, can we learn from them and keep going, and does he have a plan for us? That's all. If he has a plan for you, sister, you got to go where he tells you to go.
Amen, sister. Don't hold back now. We're almost at the end, whatever that end will be. We might not be here to see that end, but for us, it's going to end. So we just got to always be in his will, no matter what period of time it occurs.
Yes. I know I'm at that crossroad, and I've been doing it for maybe a couple years, and I just didn't have anyone to talk to it about. I did try to go to, at my job, they have a ministerial staff. And I tried to go to one of the ministers there, but he didn't know how to accept it, and I just kind of shut down. I didn't, because I saw he didn't know I was reaching out for help. Like, I was reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know. Like I'm listening to the conversation here, and it's making me cry because I'm getting confirmation, because this is exactly where I am. And before this, I tried to reach out to the one minister at my job, and he basically backed away, and he tried to bring in another minister in on it, but I didn't want him to, because I was still trying to understand why I was feeling the way I was feeling, and why was I, you know, going through what I was going through spiritually. Because I felt like I needed to leave. I felt like I needed to leave my church. And I wanted to talk to someone who was of ministerial authority, but I had to step out of my church. I didn't want to go into my church because they believe the same way, most of them from what I see. So, but when I tried to do it, this minister at my job kind of, he just kind of like didn't know what to do. He saw it maybe as I was a person who was upset because I wasn't where I wanted to be in ministry, and that was not the, that was not that I could care less about titles and all that. I wanted to, you know, be in the will of God, to be doing the right thing, and I was trying to find out from him, was, should I leave? Am I, what I'm feeling, is it me feeling this way, like I should leave because I just don't want to be there anymore? And, but I know in my spirit that what I'm witnessing, the things that I see is not of biblical to me. I mean, the church is going on, they're prospering, they're growing, and I think that's the hardest part about it is how do you look at them as being wrong when they're prospering, they're growing? And although I understand what you're saying now, because broad is the way, so it is going to be a whole lot of people going that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to look like they're prospering. It's going to look like, you know, mm-hmm. like you're the oddball out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but when I came to this class, I knew the Lord wanted me to come to it. I knew I was supposed to go to a Bible school. I didn't know where or how, and I knew the Lord, when I first heard of the school, I knew that the Lord wanted me to enroll in it. I didn't know what I was going to get out of it. I just asked the Lord for confirmation. I asked him for a rhema word, and I asked him for understanding. And I'm getting everything that I've asked for. And this is the first time I've been able to actually share how I really felt. And
mm-hmm.
only because of what was shared with me, I was able to just confirm it. Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. Like, I know this is where I'm at, but I had no one to tell. I had no one to turn to without them looking at me as if there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been under my leadership, and I've been taught, I've been trained by different ministers and reverends. And, you know, I follow everything that they tell me to do. And, you know, I'm not one who goes against the grain. Pretty much I try to do exactly what they ask me. But in doing all that, there was a void still there. And in that void, I kept asking the Lord, you know, what is it that you're telling me? And I sensed him telling me that I was going to have to leave the church. But, you know, when the Lord tells you have to leave, and then you're like, okay, God, but I can't leave into nothing because I'm used to great teaching. I'm under great teaching. And I heard Professor Emmanuel said about his testimony. He said at a certain point, it was like where God was taking you, they weren't going to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to accept it. And that's how I feel, because in my heart, I want to do the will of God. I want to do the will of God. That's been how the Lord has been dealing with me throughout my walk with him, is to do the will of God. I know my life does not belong to me. It's just that I was in this church. I grew to this church. I've followed this church. I've been taught under this church. And when the Lord told me to walk away, I didn't know how and could I, and nobody's going to believe me. So when he told me to walk away, that's when I reached out. I reached out to that particular minister, and then by me not getting that help at the time, then I kind of withdrew again, and I didn't say anything to anybody else after that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about, I'll say, a year ago that I reached out.
Now, your preface, how does the preface address this? It addresses it directly. It deals
in
with...
In what way, Professor?
It deals with the what we call accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
All of the ministers that you're talking about are all accredited to perpetuate what system?
The Eurocentric, European.
The system that exists. So the other ones could not come back and tell you that you need to leave, because
mm-hmm.
then they know that then somebody might come to their minister and do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it all has to do with accreditation and license, that we teach the same thing, that we believe the same thing, even
mm-hmm.
if it takes us nowhere.
Right.
And so that's what the preface was all about. The preface was trying to let you know that we have been duped, and
yeah.
most people are sleeping. Everybody's asleep. So
mm-hmm.
if
mm-hmm.
we're going to wake up, you know, we're not going to be able to follow the traditional way. We can't, because the traditional way is the problem.
Right.
And so that's what there was disturbing and contradictory things. That's how I open up the preface.
Yeah.
I notice these contradictory.
Right.
And that's what you have just been saying. That's all you have said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I have been experiencing. But when you don't know who to tell and you can't correct up, it's like you kind of feel trapped. Like you have to accept this. Well, not accept it, because I really never accepted it in my heart, because I knew that there were things that were contradictory to the Word of God. Because I do study my Bible. I know they say a lot of Christians don't study their Bibles, but I want to know the truth. That's my whole thing, is I want to know the truth. And so I would study my words. So when I seen things that weren't right, I knew it was a contradictory. I knew it was, but because I knew we don't correct up, I would just keep it to myself. But it just got to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore, and that's when I began to notice that the Lord was kind of like pulling me out spiritually. My body was still there, but
right.
spiritually, I
mm-hmm.
felt myself leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, if you only knew the leadership that I'm under, it's so great. Like, it would be a big step for me to walk away. It would be a really big step for me to walk away. And I know that I look at God greater than man.
Mm-hmm.
I put my confidence in him. And I used to say, Lord, if you ever wanted me to walk away, I would do it. And this is the first time that ever came to this point. And so he's leading me. I want to do his will. I want to do his will.
Hallelujah, sister. That's all he asks. Give him your will, and he will perfect you in Yeshua to do Father's will. As it comes to you, you'll be willing to walk in it.
Yes.
Have you found any freedom, though, to see that even with the way you were thinking, that this was a system that was designed to keep us in bondage to the will of man, opposed to what Yah wants for us, and then you were fearful even to leave that, even though you knew it wasn't the best thing for you. Now, you tell me how that could be something Yah would want for us when he wants to bring us into perfection, and yet we're willing to stay with the system that's killing us. People are not obeying. You're not encouraged to obey. Yet you feel like you have to stay.
Because
even in that, you see, Father has been trying to lead you to understand that
right.
it's not based on man.
I did try to reach out, though. I did try to reach out for help. And
no, please don't start crying. We understand.
I'm not.
That.
I'm not crying anymore. I'm fine.
Good. because we're all on the same page. That's the bottom line.
Yeah,
we all see, and we know what everybody's going through.
Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, I'm hearing the truth, and
okay,
you know, she was asking me why wouldn't I leave, even though I knew. And I did, like I was saying, I did try to reach out. And
well, she's asking you a rhetorical question. You already answered the question earlier.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was just trying to get you to, just trying to encourage you in a way. That's all.
Okay.
That's all. She was just trying to get you to think about it. That's all. Because you done already said it. I mean, and we've discussed it. Well, okay, well, we praise Yahweh for this opportunity who have understood and be able to encourage one another as we go down this path of righteousness, path of the path that Yahweh would have us to go down.
Hallelujah.
Yep, we done ran out of time, so we're going to just come to a close on this at this time. We'll have a word, a closing word of prayer. Does anyone would like to pray for us on this Day of Atonement? And now one thing is good about this, because since this is the day that we are supposed to become one with Elohim, as Atonement, that we actually were able to come together as one and understand what he went through.
Yeah.
So I'd like to thank Yahweh for that.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I'm going to pray because I feel delivered. And
praise Yah.
I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for you say where two or three are gathered together, that you are in the midst. And I trust that you are interceding right now and at this moment, God. And I know, Heavenly Father, that your power is greater than man.
Mm-hmm.
We trust, Lord Jesus, that you are guiding and teaching us according to your will and your purpose. And I know that's the only way that you want us to go. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, for strength. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to touch the leader of this ministry, God, that you continue to make him a man of valor who is willing to cross the boundaries no matter what the circumstances, just like Jesus, your son, did. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have answered my questions and given me confirmation. And I just know that you're going to continue to guide me in this endeavor, in this walk.
Yeah.
I thank you also for the sister who felt my pain and was able to just comfort me in that way, God. I thank you, Lord, just for opening a way for help for me to reach out and receive, Lord, what I've been waiting for all this time.
Praise
in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, sister.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't mind, you can take my